Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 115 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be, often while the shows are actually happening, to meet the people that make theater happen. You can find all our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other fine podcast streaming services, and if you have a spare 30 seconds, please do rate and review this podcast on whichever platform you use, and that kind of helps us to be more discoverable to listeners who have not heard about us yet, so help us out. And now for part two of this week's podcast. Earlier this week, we brought you the first part of our Get the Most Out of Your Next Job panel that we had at the Surviving Actors Convention in London last weekend. And if you haven't listened to episode 114, do take the time to download it, and then you can listen to this episode, or you know, you can do the absolute opposite and listen to this one first. It doesn't really matter, but whatever you do, okay, you don't want to just listen to one part, because that would kind of like be watching Harry Potter and the Cursed Child Part 2 and not Part 1, and no one really needs that to happen to them. Okay, in any case, I was joined by director Bruce Guthrie, casting director Sarah Jane Price, producer Kimberly Thomas Curry, movement director Amaya Majika, and fantastic Sam Marks, talking about carpentry and all kinds of things. Just you wait. Just have a listen now as we open up the panel to the actors who are in the audience for their questions. And there's some brilliant and insightful answers by our panelists. Have a listen.
Everyone has a different experience of what they get from being in a job and getting the most out of a job. And, you know, this is a Q&A, and we've got about 20, 25 minutes left. So I want to literally open it up to any question that you guys might have. You have a real range of expertise up here. And, you know, just ask away. Please do. And I'm sure we'll get a lovely range of answers back. And there's nothing... Or if you just want to throw a topic out to discuss, it doesn't have to be a question, but just a general topic would be great. So fire away if anybody has anything. If not, I can carry on. But, yeah.
Do you ever see someone auditioning and you think they're not right for that role, but you might keep them in mind for something else
all
in the future?
All the time. It tends to be when the submissions come in, or if somebody sends a CV in, you kind of think, oh, actually, I've got 19 shows this year, all completely different. And sometimes I think, actually, down the line, they might actually be better for that. So I'll keep that in mind there. And like, I don't forget, the CV is always on my system. It doesn't go anywhere. So all the time, happens all the time. And sometimes people do come into the room and they might have changed slightly from their headshot. I mean, try and keep them as, you know, relevant as you can. And you kind of go, oh, actually, now that part of, for them over there would be better. And I spoke to an agent the other day. He said, oh, I've got this person, be really good for that show. And I went, but they've got the skill set for this show. And he went, I didn't know you were doing that. oh, there you go. All the time. Happens all the time.
Yeah. That's interesting, because while you're in work or if you're kind of doing workshops or seminar, you know, doing continual professional development, having an audition is a great way to engage your bubble, like getting people to work with you, like, because you can get the most out of an audition, you know, by doing that, like, because somebody opposite you helping you prepare for an audition is such a great thing to do. If you're in a show, you know it's a lovely thing. You have a captive audience of actors, or if you need a bit of direction, there's an associate director around who might want to help you with an audition. I think it's a really useful thing. Once you're in a show, it doesn't mean you stop being an actor, you know?
No, I found it really interesting. I got invited to see somebody that I knew actually really, really well doing a show. And he was doing a part that I never, ever would I have gone, ah, oh, he'd be really good at that. And I just went, I was like, I need to find all these roles for you now. It was amazing. I'd never expected it. And I'm so glad that, because he was covering the part. I think he was second cover or something, and he actually went on, and he was so good. And there are always ways of, you know, of surprising people, or I might not necessarily see it instantly, but then I'll go, oh, actually, they would be really good for that. And you could take that from your job that you're doing, and you know, invite people and say, oh, I haven't played this kind of part before, but I can do. You know, there's so many ways of doing it.
Oh, no, you're perfect.
That's right.
Would you advise an actor in their downtime when they're not working in terms of finding work and also what they should be doing for themselves to keep themselves fit? I'm not physically fit, I mean, mentally fit. What would you advise?
It's a tough one. It's really important. I don't know, maybe John has felt this as well, but like I've had periods where I haven't been working, and I think as actors it's very easy to get into quite a vicious cycle of thinking that we're defined by our work, and that by getting a job means validates our experience as actors, validates our talent and our quality. And I think it's always really, really important just to hold on to the fact that you're really good. Just remember what it is about you. And I mean, that is way easier said than done.
Yeah.
When you haven't worked for 8 months, which happened to me last year, and then something changes and then you're working. It's great. Yeah, I don't know if you're into meditation, but that can be quite a cool thing. I think like keep working and go to classes.
I think having outside really interests as well.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely. Like,
when your life revolves around finding your next job, or you know, it's so unhealthy. You know, go join a running club.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Something
yeah.
that will benefit you mentally, physically, yoga, you know, anything that outside of acting that you enjoy, make sure you find time to do that as well, because you need to be the best version of you in any room and in any job, and the only way you can do that is by finding things that make you happy.
I was going to say
something similar. I mean, I remember when director, but so I would speak always from this movement perspective, but it's not this thing of you have to be all the time training in something related to acting, you know. The same is for me, I'm to keep myself always like fit or engaged or embodied. I do all the things that you may like it's, I don't know, swimming, running, whatever it keeps you in your body and your head, so like ready in that sort of readiness and present for whatever comes.
I found like doing lots of practical things, you know, as creative people don't have to stop being creative when we're not working, so I've really gotten into carpentry, which is great because I'm doing amazing things. I've got an idea of something, I buy all the stuff, put it all together, it's rubbish, but you know, I don't.
As you can see, Sam is brilliant at selling himself.
But, you know, then the next thing I get slightly better at it.
Yeah,
you hope that sort of feeds into, you know, your person. That then is always going to be a really helpful thing when you go in and meet someone. Like, hey, I just made this cupboard. It's, you know, it's relative, but it's a cupboard, and I made it. It's great.
I think it's really important. I mean, Americans have a slightly different attitude. Like, we're constantly working on ourselves. There's always doing a class, like literally doing a class, which I think is important. But I think it's important to not kind of join a class and just join an echo chamber of the skills that you already have. Yeah. Join a movement direction class where somebody's going to make you slightly uncomfortable because you will be far happier coming out of it. And I think if you have enough money to buy a round, you know, at the pub, you have enough money to do a class.
Yeah.
And just buy one less round and go work on yourself. Like, it's the same thing if you have 30 minutes to look at Facebook, you have 30 minutes to learn a new speech.
Yeah.
No, I was going to say that you can easily go into this thing of in between jobs of doing nothing, and then you sort of go back in the point of where you were. Does it make sense?
Right, yeah.
So then by the time suddenly all of a sudden you have an audition or something comes up, it's like it takes you longer to be there, ready for that. So maintaining that at least a little bit with whatever you do, you will be always better.
From a creative perspective as well, I think, I mean, this is something that I do a lot, and I know that other kind of freelance producers do it as well, but there's no reason why kind of creatives and actors shouldn't as well, is go and see as much theatre as you can possibly afford, and then go and see, if you liked a show, go and make contact with the director or the actor or the creative, you know, the producer, who thought it up, writer, get in touch with them, try and find them, stalk them, Facebook, you know,
Twitter,
LinkedIn, Twitter, whatever.
Yeah. Don't get arrested.
Mild stalking is always recommended. But go for a coffee with them. See if there's a project they've got that, you know, or maybe you've got a project that you want to talk to them about. I mean, there's loads of directors that I know or actors that I know who we've, you know, had vague conversations about. We should definitely work together one day, and hopefully that will happen one day. And but it's really good just to keep your brain engaged. You're going to see stuff. You're thinking about, okay, well, that's somebody I might want to work with, or maybe that's a direction I've never thought about going down myself.
Yeah.
I'd quite like to play that kind of role. It's about keeping mentally engaged and keeping those kind of creative juices flowing, as well as obviously networking, but in a way where you're admiring other people's work, so you're not selling yourself. It's a really nice way to network, where you're just going, I really loved your work, I'd love to have coffee with you and pick your brain. It's your way of saying, hi, do you know who I am?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you're actually complimenting them, and everyone loves being complimented.
Yeah, there's networking. I'm a master networker. I teach networking. I think the big thing, people think networking is talking about yourself. It's not. It just isn't.
Getting people
talk about themselves. You will learn 1,000% more getting somebody talking, you know, because at the end, they'll go, oh, I know that person. They know nothing about you. And I was just talking about some mild stalking. Here's a great tip, and this is what I teach when I go to drama schools. The best time to network, and networking isn't a bad word, it's a great word, it's a positive word. The best time to network is going to fringe theaters during previews, because every producer, director, creative, actors, they're all going to be there. So go during previews, and you'll spend £7. You'll learn more than you will learn at any other time during the run. And then, if you have a question, if you want to know about lighting design, or you want to see different choices, you can go back the next night and see what they've worked on, and go, oh God, I can see why they made that decision. Or you will. People love to talk about themselves after a show, so you can ask, that was a great decision as an actor, like why did you make that choice? I just thought it was a great performance. Can you just take me through your choice there? And they will give you 20 minutes of talking. You go away, you write it down about why, and it's a great way to network, brilliant way to network.
I have a question. As a movement director, we were speaking about the fact that in audition it's good to bring yourself, like what can yourself bring to the part. Are you looking for the same when you're auditioning for, let's say, dancers or physical artists?
I don't really audition people, to be honest. When I go and I'm going to work with actors, I'm already working in something, in a play or something, and there's this, sometimes there is a specific cues to find the physicality of the play or the actor, or sometimes we have to find it. So when we have to find it, what I'm looking for is sort of like an open person that's going to work with me. So my way of working is I don't like to sort of impose things, because otherwise it would be me telling you what to do. And you come like a Play-Doh and I mold you and that's it, it's done. So the good thing is, like, I like to be working together and find the things together so you can bring what you have as an actor. Mm. So it can be anything. So the way I do things and the way I embody things is different from each of you. So I like to, for you, to bring that, what you have, or discover new things, and like that create whatever you need for your character or the scene or whatever. But yeah. Did I answer your question? Yes? Thank you. Yeah.
I think if you end up doing a job and you're lucky to work with a company that can afford to have someone like Amaya there, a movement director, or someone who does text and speech.
Yeah.
Use that, but like, exploit that person.
Yeah.
Because they're there to do a job, but you know, in lunch break, maybe just see if you can have half an hour, or after rehearsals, say, can I come and do like hours of text work with you? Can we look at that speech? Because that is, I'm confused. I don't understand it. Can you help me? Can we do some physical exercises just to improve my breathing and my speech? Would be great, or my flexibility, do some Pilates, whatever it is, you know, use those people. It's a great opportunity. Like you guys were saying, you know, you don't stop working once you get the job, but you've got to keep doing stuff. And like, an athlete doesn't stop training just because, you know, they're at the Olympics or whatever. They're always training. And I think as actors, you can kind of take your foot off the gas and be like, well, I got the job now. So like, it's good. Like, I've made it.
And in that vein, Bruce, when one of your actors is mid-run or whatever, and you're always open to having questions thrown, like, as the director of the piece, it's, if there is a question, there should be no question about coming to you. Is that right? Or
yeah, absolutely. It's kind of, you've got to remember is that we love it as well, and that we love it as well. So when a show's been running for a long time, or if somebody, you know, has found something else, or that you go and you watch it and it's a bit sort of like, and it's happened before, is that I wouldn't have seen a show for like, say, a month or something like that, and that then you'll go up and you'll watch on tour and you'll be like, what has happened here? And that then you do note sessions the next day, because I always, when I watch a show, note the show, then watch the notes whenever I do that, just to make sure that I've been clear with the notes, and that, you know, that the note has worked, because if it's not helpful, then it's a bit sort of like, that was wrong. We shouldn't do that. Go back to doing what you were doing. Or that what I try to do is that if you've got two pages of notes, then you try and get that down to half a page, because you try and find the note that will do five things.
Right.
The five of the things that you want to happen, rather than say, can you go up on that word and down on that word, or whatever it might be, or that I think that the dynamic in the scene has shifted, so we need to work on that. And because you've got to be sensitive to the fact that the actors as well are, you know, probably in the middle of, you know, a long intensive run, and so, you know, pulling people in to re-rehearse things for 3 or 4 hours when they're on the road is not a helpful thing for them, and you've got to be a bit sensitive to that. Sometimes you need to do it, and sometimes it's, you know, it, for the sake of the show and for the sake of them, actually, it's just that they need to rework it because they want to rework it. But things like that, challenges like that are kind of awesome. I love it, but that's just, you know, because I love the shows.
Yes.
I was wondering if you have got the next job and you're going to make a count, and you've got a great job coming up and you want to invite certain people, professionals to it. Do you have a specific preference to that? And if it is an email, for example, should it be short and sweet? Should you put your headshot there? How would be the best way to gain someone you don't know, say, I'd like to work with you, I'd like you to come see my show? What would be the best way to try and get your attention and politely ask you to come and see me in this film for duration of time?
Everyone's looking at Sarah.
What should we do?
I think the thing is that everybody is different. I will answer every email I get from an actor. It's just it takes time, but it's fine. Even if it's, you know, I'm going to do it this evening. It's just, but headshot, great, because then I can see what you look like, and just say, I'm doing this show, I'd love for you to come, or get your agent to email. You know, I've had last week, I was just saying, I'm going to see The Mousetrap next week, because somebody in it emailed me, and then their agent emailed me, and I went, right, yeah, okay, I'm coming, it's fine, I'm coming. I wanted to go, just finding time.
Or would you prefer an agent, or yourself? Is it better coming from an agent?
It really doesn't matter to me either way. If an agent's like, I've got this client and they're great and they're going on for their cover, really love you to come and see them. If I've got time, I will go. If an actor then emails me and says, look, I'm going off my cover, I'll be like, right, okay, I'm going to come. You know, if you can help me sort tickets, if I put my name down on the cover run list, great. And if I can't go, then somebody else in the office might want to go. You know, there's hundreds of us in there, and someone might want to go. One of the assistant producers might want to go on, the general managers might want to go. You just write. Always take the time to write. Email better, but always take your time, because someone somewhere will see it and go, yeah, of course I'll come. And you just never know. You've got nothing to lose.
Yeah, that's it. You've got nothing to lose. I would agree that, I mean, from my point of view, I'd definitely be more likely to take note if it was an agent, because I need agents sometimes. So therefore I'm more likely to, if it's an agent I have a relationship with, or I know I'm going to be doing a deal with in a little while, and I'm, you know, I will try and just keep them sweet. So if your agent is going to do it for you, brilliant. I mean, get your agent to work for you, get them to be sending stuff. They should be working for you. You are their client. Mm-hmm. So they work for you. So if they're not pulling their finger out, they should be. But that said, do more as well. So invite people yourself as well. And yeah, like Sarah Jane said, I used to program 200 shows a year in the festival in Edinburgh. I was invited to thousands of shows I didn't get to see, unfortunately. But if somebody in my office, or somebody even in another office of another company, I sometimes send invites to friends who I trusted the judgment of. If I could get someone to see that show, I would. Obviously, there were lots that I didn't get to see. It doesn't mean that it's a bad thing on you. Take it to heart if someone doesn't come.
So busy.
People are so busy. But definitely, just try every avenue you can.
Yeah.
And
you've literally got nothing to lose.
Yeah.
I still write to people when I'm in play.
Oh, I always write.
And email or handwritten thing, it's hard.
I never get any handwritten.
Sorry?
I never get any handwritten.
All right.
He'll send
quite
you.
Like
most people, I think, email.
Yeah.
And you get it all in there, you can do loads, and it's great, and it's cheap.
Yeah.
On that vein,
though, I just don't have too much money, and like postage can really add up. But I would say, if it's someone who you know and who you have a relationship with, I think a handwritten note can be really good. And I was given some advice once to send casting directors or producers, people I've worked with, a postcard or something nice, like a nice postcard that they get. They'll read it. They'll be like, "Oh, okay, that's nice. Sam sent me that." But it's a nice bit, and they might put it up on their, they might put it up on their message board. And then every time they look at the message board, they might remember. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and something might come in, a breakdown might come in, and they look at the postcard. Oh,
that's true. We used to get really weird gifts as well from personalised things. You know, like
somebody sent me personalised gin the other day.
I had some weird sweets and kind of strange. And yeah, some of it you're
this
like,
this is not the same bribe.
You know, there's something in doing something memorable. It was like what I was saying about that first date, the meet and greet. Do something that means other people are going to remember who you are and what you're about, as long as that's obviously not a really annoying thing. That you want it to be a positive thing.
Yeah. But keep hustling in the job.
But keep doing it. Yeah, absolutely.
Keep it short. Like in the email, keep it short. Like I've been on both sides. It's like, but you know, if I open up an email, I've done it because I have produced and directed, and it's a long War and Peace of an email, I'm not going to read it because I just don't have the time. Yeah, keep it short, keep it three lines. State your intent, get in, get out.
And on that vein, just make sure if you are sending the same email to lots of different people,
get the name right.
Don't call her Susan.
I get everything. I get Jane, I get everything. honestly, which is fine, I understand, but
it is
a thing. If I open an email and it says, "Dear Susan," I'm not Susan.
Did you make it personal to the point where, obviously, I want to make it a bit personal to you? This is why I want you to come.
It'd be nice. It would
be
nice. Yeah, then just saying, "Hello, please come to my show."
Exactly.
This is what how many people have you sent that to?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If you can make it personal, do. But if you can't, then don't. Because like you said, it's worse to say, "I've always wanted to work at the Pleasance," when you're sending it to me at Assembly.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
Yeah.
That immediately is going to be a no. Whereas if you just said, "I've always wanted to do a show in the Fringe," I'm interested. You know, so do whatever you have the time to do. Whatever you do, do it well.
But just think about it, though.
Yeah.
What would you rather have? What would you rather have in terms of when you're being written to? You know, and the attention to detail. Detail matters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit sort of like, is that, and a lot of this is, we have way more control over all of this than we think that we do. Because that, you know, I mean, my wife is an actress, and that, you know, so we have a lot of conversations about kind of like, you know, it just feels like I'm so out of control, and it's like, but you do have control.
Mm.
You've got control over everything that you do, and nothing comes of nothing, all right? And the worst thing that can happen is nothing, all right? So if you're rejected and stuff like that, then it's like, right, fine, I've tried that, bang. That's not going to happen right now, but that I can move on to something else. And that your own standards that you would have and the stuff that... What would you respond to?
Mm.
What would you go and see? You know? And that if you're reading it as if it's a generic thing or as if we're trying not to make a mistake, if you're trying not to make a mistake, then you're not going to be memorable.
Mm.
All right? That goes for auditions, it goes for everything. This is that bring your best, and that whether that's an email, if the email is the first point of contact, then that's your first impression.
Yeah.
It all counts. All of it counts as much as you want it to. Because if you think, oh well, I'm going to send 100 emails today, this is that volume is meaningless.
Mm.
Quality is everything.
Mm.
Yeah.
If you, for example, I send you an email and I don't get any answer, would you recommend for the next job I do to keep sending you an email?
Why not? I mean, if we haven't got an answer, if it was for me, if you haven't got an answer for me, it wouldn't have reached me. But for everybody else, yeah, why not just say, oh, I'm just sending this again. I'm doing another job. Just updated my headshots. And if you get any time to come and have a look at this, then do. And I'll go, oh, right, yeah. I didn't get to see the last one, but maybe I'll try and get to this one. Like I said, you've literally got nothing to lose.
Yeah. You've got to know your why. You have to know your why before you do anything, before stepping into an audition or
assignment.
Exactly. Know your why. If you're writing an email but you don't know why, don't do it. Just don't write it.
I heard someone was writing a casting director an email every week, just updating them on their week and what classes they're going to.
I've got this rash.
And then started sending them post, and Christmas sent them a card which was filled with glitter. They opened this card. And you know, they're
still picking it out of their chair.
Still going now. And you know, not every week, but if you've got another job, why not? That's a piece of news. You know, maybe not a newsletter with I threw my Christmas tree out this week and you know. But if you've got a new headshot or you've got a new agent or you've got a new voice reel, I will always go, oh, voice reel, doing some work and I'll have it on in the background. Why not?
Yeah.
Sorry, I think you were talking more about theatre, but do you also look at emails from people who work in screen more, like if they send a
screen
show
for me?
Reel?
I don't deal with screen at the moment.
Okay.
I mean, feel free to send it to me, but I mean, I'm not sure I can help much with screen at the moment.
Mm. It's just at the moment, isn't it, Strange?
Just
at the moment.
Yeah, I did commercials for a while, but now it's theatre mainly.
Guys, we're going to have to start wrapping it up because I think that's our time. Is there any kind of last parting wisdom, the pieces of wisdom? Like, you know, if you could give 30 seconds of wisdom before you send these guys on the way to enjoy the rest of the day, use the rest of the day, get the most out of today. Is there anything you could pass on?
I would say be proactive. My best advice is just be the best version of you that you can be. If you're going into audition and you know you're prepared and you know you've done your homework and you feel good and you've had a good night's sleep and you are the best version of you, it's not, then you don't get the job. If you don't get the job, it's not because of you. There's so many factors that go into it. As long as you're the best version of you that you can be, then what else can you do? That's
what you do. Be kind to the rest of your
kind,
company.
Yeah.
Be kind to your company manager. So be kind to them. And if you're going to start a romance with another cast member or a member of stage management team, just make sure it can outlast the run.
Great advice.
Just say don't even go there.
Well, that would be the ideal.
I would say be present, be in your bodies, and be open-minded, and don't be afraid of approaching the movement work at all.
Brilliant. Okay, well, thank you guys. Can you please thank the panel for me? And thank you all for coming. Thanks, guys.
Bruce Guthrie, Sarah Jane Price, Kimberly Thomas-Curry, Amaya Mujica, and Sam Marks. at the Surviving Actors Make the Most Out of Your Job panel in London 2019. Before we wrap up, if you're a theater professional, head on over to curtaincallonline.com and sign up for a free profile page. You can follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, at Curtain Call, and you can follow me personally at John Schwab, J-O-H-N-S-C-H-W-A-B. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast, just get in touch with us via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned, or write to me at john@curtaincallonline.com. It just leaves me to say a huge thank you to director Bruce Guthrie, casting director Sarah Jane Price, producer Kimberly Thomas Curry, movement director Amaya Mujica, and actor Sam Marks for joining the panel at Surviving Actors 2019. Also to Leanne Robertson and Felicity Jackson of Surviving Actors for all their support. And we can't wait to see you guys at Surviving Actors London 2020. Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, and I will catch you all next week. Bye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.